Have you flown your daughter yet?
Not by ourselves. Oh, her understanding of what I do is really a little bit skewed. Like, at one point in time, she told this, like, vacation friend's dad that I was a fighter pilot. And I was like, well, that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to visit her class, she told them that I clean houses for a living.
Clean houses for a
living. I was like, well, that's also not.
Do you clean any houses?
No, not even my own. Yeah, so.
It's like, regardless of getting paid, do you?
Yeah.
So fighter pilot is actually more accurate. Right.
Right. Closer to a fighter pilot than that.
She has no idea, is the point.
Fair enough.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Bazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Dave Bazaroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right.
Yeah. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Right. As of recording, today is my son's fifth birthday.
Happy birthday to him.
That's all I can say. It's copyrighted.
Really?
Yeah. The happy birthday song is copyrighted.
Who's gonna come after me?
I don't know, Mr. Happy Birthday. That's why
Mr. Birthday.
That's why restaurants they'll have their own song.
I've heard this before, yeah. I forgot.
So like you can't.
I figure at some point it's gotta go in the public domain, right? It's gotta be soon.
It's a pretty jerk move to write this simple happy birthday song
right.
and then copyright it.
Right.
Like, yeah. Come on, everybody.
The real jerk move is when you like sue Applebee's for like $1 million saying you owe me for all of those times you sang happy birthday.
Yeah.
Such that now every restaurant has their own stupid happy birthday song.
I'm not saying I wouldn't try it though.
Oh yeah, sure, I would totally do it.
If I had come up with a happy birthday song, I'd be like, nope, this is my retirement plan.
This is mine now.
We took him to the zoo.
Nice. Yeah. Today?
No. Last week.
That makes more sense.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm here recording.
Right. That's a quick trip.
Yeah. We got there, there for 10 minutes.
There's the animal. Then see ya. Yeah.
But we did hear that Mr. Pickles, the 100-year-old turtle, did have babies. So
Wait, what?
Sired babies.
Sired babies. Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Pickles.
Yes. Mrs. Pickles. Yes.
This is a new story to me.
Well, they thought my friend is a videographer at the zoo, so he gave us the download. We could have gone and see the little babies, but we did not.
Little tortoise babies.
Yes.
That's cute.
They
assume Mr. Pickles was not able to have children.
Because he's 100 years old. Abraham made the same problem.
Right. About Methuselah.
And they never had babies. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Pickles has babies.
There you go.
That's quite biblical, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Hope for us all, right?
Right.
That's right. God makes a way.
Yes.
Or some sort of
for
alternative.
For Mr. Pickles, not all things are possible. But with God, all things are possible.
Alternatively, a message about birth control.
Sure. Yeah. Never too old.
Right. Yeah.
They need to have that the safe sex talk.
That's
yes.
Right.
All right, I got some
is
news
Mr.
For us.
Pickles married? What's the status of his relationship? Is it complicated? Is it?
He's in a situationship.
It's more complicated now.
Babies. I mean, it's at least common law. They're in the same cave.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. What's the thing from the Barbie movie? Like my low commitment, high involvement, long distance, long term living girlfriend.
Nice. I have not seen the Barbie movie, but that's a funny line.
Well,
I
you
like
should
it.
Watch it.
I've heard it's good.
I've also not seen it.
Oh my gosh!
Just, life happens. I would definitely watch it. I'm not anti watching it.
Yeah,
I just haven't seen it.
It's like you can. It's out now. You can rent it.
I gotta pay money for it. Where can I get it for
Prime?
Free?
It's on Peacock or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Or one of them. One. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, I've also not seen, and I want.
Yeah.
To see.
I've
also
seen
my. I did not tap into the Barbenheimer.
The craze
that was 9 months ago, and here we are talking about it finally. So
classic Beyond Sunday style. Here's a thing that nobody's talking about anymore.
You heard it here last.
Yes. Well, here's the thing everybody's gonna be talking about.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. We're
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Our friends are from McDonald's.
Our friends
unveils world's first scented billboards.
What?
Okay. Seems unnecessary, but what do we got?
Let's go for it. So a billboard.
Hmm.
Yeah,
the thing on the interstate.
Like a scratch and sniff.
You have to climb up stairs.
For all the taggers out there, scented billboards. So innovative advertisers strategically placed for now in the Netherlands emit the irresistible aroma of McDonald's iconic fries.
So they have like a fan behind the billboard so that you smell the fries on the highway as you drive
past. So this does not give me this information. Like what are we talking about when we talk about billboards? Like on the freeway, those side of billboards are just like an ad on the side of the road.
That's true because it's the Netherlands. So who knows what they mean by billboard?
That is true. This is from the Chicago Star.
Lost in translation. It could be anything.
I feel like I don't understand what they're talking about.
It could be on a ship. It could be in their kitchen. We don't know. It could be anything. It's the Netherlands. It's a crazy world. Over
on
there. They have lots of water in the Netherlands.
On a windmill. Is that them?
Yes. Yeah, that's them. Yeah. Yeah. And the dikes.
It's in their wooden shoes.
Yeah, it's on somebody's wooden shoes.
Their tulips smell, their tulips
smell like
french
fries.
Yeah.
Guten Tag, french fries.
Wrong language.
It's close enough.
You know, I believe it. You know. All right.
How could we offend an entire country and McDonald's?
You're on blast, Netherlands. Yeah. Using scent as a powerful tool to evoke emotion and memory, McDonald's to create a multi-sensory experience that resonates with consumers on
it's
a deeper
level. That's not what I need from my McDonald's.
I don't need
multi-sensory experiences.
When I walk into a McDonald's, I love the smell of a good set of french fries. McDonald's french fries smell real good. I'm down with that.
I agree.
I mean, admittedly, they just smell like frying oil, but it smells real good.
I'm actually with you. I think if any company out there, I think, can cap into this like scent based advertising, I think McDonald's is high up there.
They can do it. Yeah, I believe in them.
Here's
or
the
anybody
problem.
That uses a lot of garlic, I'm down with that too.
Yeah. Oh,
I love garlic. Mm.
Yikes! Those scents are always going to have like a synthetic note to them, right? So it's going to be like a weird like car freshener version of McDonald's French fries.
Maybe it doesn't play out, but I'm just saying I'm game. I'm down to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is artificial fragrance oils and natural and artificial fragrance oils.
So what do they?
So you got
they ring out these French fries on the.
This is your new DoTerra blend. This is your DoTerra McDonald's.
Yeah,
it's going to turn into an MLM
essential oil.
It really
for
needs
McDonald's.
To be a person out there with like a plate of fries, like just waving.
That's right,
in front of you, right?
Or free fry samples.
There you go. Yeah,
boom.
These are all good options. That would also be multi-sensory because then I have to talk to somebody,
right?
So
while I eat the free stuff,
it's also you know the scent is dispersed intermittently throughout the day. You got a fresh scent, right?
Okay.
You don't want a stale scent.
Yeah. I will say this: in Columbus, in Ohio, there was there are other Columbuses. I was clarifying. There's one in Texas, not that one. There was a Wonder Bread factory that was right off the highway. And you would drive past it at the right time of day, and it would smell like fresh baked bread. And it was amazing.
I buy it.
And so if I could drive past a little section of town that smelled like McDonald's french fries, I'm game. I'm down for that. Yeah.
Miss Baird's Bread was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Like a field trip there.
Oh, my gosh.
Every year was amazing.
It smells so good.
It was really great. Yeah.
What is the best type of bread? Real quick.
Oh, this is off topic. Okay. Best type of bread.
Best type of bread.
Bears, beets, Battlestar Galactica. No, wait.
Bread, beets.
Ooh. Best like okay so like of all breads
like am I like for what am I just
yeah like what do I want
what sandwich bread
oh,
is
sandwich
like
bread?
Peak sandwich bread
okay peach okay sandwich bread
I like a good wheat with some sort of like thicker crust
I'm
on
looking
the
for a brand here David
I don't have a brand
like a brand of bread I was gonna say like a sourdough is probably what I would want
if I want a grilled sandwich I want a sourdough because it gets that really good crust on the outside
yeah
I don't think there's one best bread. I think
there is one best bread,
okay,
and I know
it?
What it is.
What
but
is it?
It's Captain John Durst bread.
That's ridiculous. That's not even a thing.
It
nobody
is
knows
a
what
thing.
That is.
I grew up with it in South Carolina.
That's made up.
That,
that's like it's like Piggly Wiggly. It doesn't actually exist.
Piggly Wiggly does exist.
No, it's not. It's not a real thing.
I could take you to Piggly Wiggly right now.
It's a collective hallucination.
Back to McDonald's.
Oh right, back to things that matter.
Right.
All right.
Whoops.
The innovation they're sending billboards don't stop there.
Oh, no.
They're using sensors and Wi-Fi connectivity so they can detect if somebody is nearby and adjust their scent emissions accordingly.
Yeah, so more or less. If you're
like, what are the parameters here? Like, if you're a real hefty homie walking down the street, really pump it up.
Do they know?
This is our target audience.
I'm guessing it's more like, is anybody here or is the street empty right now?
Right.
That's
that sounds.
I also check that if I have to do a scent emission. Like, is anybody around?
Yeah, fair. Is anybody in hearing distance?
Right. Yeah. Hey, if your scent emissions could smell like McDonald's french fries, I'd be game for that too. I'm just
Is there any other brand or product scent emission, you know, that you'd be like, I'm interested in that?
Cinnamon rolls.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Like a Cinnabon.
I can get down with the Cinnabon cinnamon roll.
Really good, like one of those cookie places, but like a really good cookie store, not just like bakery, but like really good cookies.
Famous Amos.
Yeah, you know? Famous Amos, something like that. Yeah. Okay. Or a Great American Cookie Company. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
I think bacon has definitely got
a
great odor. Yeah. We definitely, for our Easter breakfast, we cook our bacon like at the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come in, they're like, ooh, got to get that breakfast.
Now you just need to add a french fry stand outside.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Yeah. Or we just need to pump in some bacon smell right as church is ending. Just like,
just
you know.
Get the fans blowing right
in the
side
door. Maybe
we could
take a page from the Catholics and you can walk down with that little thing, like the little
the incenser just full of bacon.
The incense full of bacon grease.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
I'm waving it, by the way.
Yeah. Getting the full effect here in the studio. We appreciate that.
This is a great idea. Yeah. For the pig roast, perhaps, you could go ahead and roll that one out.
Yeah. What is that thing? Thurible, that's what it's called. Yeah, get the thurible filled with bacon grease.
Thurible.
That's what it's called. Yeah, and
it's not the incenser?
Yeah.
How was the incenser?
I think an incenser is like what actually burnt, but the liturgical name for the thing in which you wave around, that's called a thurible.
Do you have to do that at all in Lutheran
There are branches of Lutheranism that could use it. There would not be against us to do it. We don't do it here because why?
Weird.
Right. Because it's one more thing.
Yeah. I got stuff to do. I don't got time.
We're very busy.
You know, incense gives me a headache. So, you know, I'm down with us not doing it. So. Yeah. Bacon, though. I mean,
I never got a headache from bacon. I'll say that.
Bacon's controversial, though. There's gonna be bacon haters if you start burning it and waving it around during your church service.
Because it's not kosher? We're freed in Christ. We can eat bacon.
I don't know about kosher. I'm talking about vegetarians.
Well, we're eating the body of Christ every week, so
that is not very vegetarian.
I don't know what to tell you.
Not everybody
in the Lutheran Church. We're not. Just to be very clear, I understand. Lutheran
One church can appeal to every demographic possible. It's just the reality of the world. You know?
All right.
All right.
Going after the bacon lovers. That's our niche.
You're out.
Bacon wrapped communion.
I'll take it.
Wow.
All right, our main article from Christianity Today.
All right.
Our friends-ish.
Friends-ish, yeah.
Yeah, more our friends because we pay for them now.
We do pay for them, yeah. By article by Russell Moore.
All right, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, we've talked about Russell Moore
several
before.
Several times.
We've established many times that he's not, in fact, married to Beth Moore.
Right.
Although we think maybe there's an opportunity there because they're both hated by the evangelical church.
They are, they're both there, but no, they both were
a
not.
A real opportunity for a meet cute.
They've got something in common.
Look, I'm just saying, you married, you don't have to change your last name. You don't
you
have
go.
To deal
Pretty
with that.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Golden, yeah.
You don't have to go down to the
You don't even have to get new monogram towels.
Right.
It's true. Easy peasy.
Already.
Passport, no problem.
Done.
Right? Like, he's done.
All the marriage, none of the hassle. It's great.
That's true, yeah.
Ideal circumstances, really. Like,
yeah.
Why are they sleeping on this?
Free advice from Beyond Sunday. Find a spouse that has the same last name as you, but not a relative.
That's right.
You know, but clarification.
Right.
Not a relative, same last name.
Not in the Alabama sense.
Yeah. Pretty sure we can't say that.
No Alabama spouses.
Pretty sure we can't say that either.
Netherlands and Alabama.
Right.
And
both.
McDonald's.
It's
all
fine.
Last.
We're sorry for all
and
of
And vegetarians.
Yeah.
All
I'm not
once,
sorry for that one.
One fell swoop.
All right. Here we go. Headline. Okay. New Atheism Finally Learns How to Destroy Christianity.
Dun, dun, dun. That seems like an appropriate reaction to that headline.
They're evolving. Yeah. The new atheists are coming for us.
They've learned how to open doors.
Yeah. They have opposable thumbs. They can breathe outside of water.
Lock the door.
One of the first Simpsons House of Horror episodes. Do you remember this was the dolphins like learn to walk on land and like they come and fight back and like the dolphins march out of the sea and attack the city of Springfield? That's what I'm imagining happening right,
right
here.
Those new atheists.
Yeah, right. Marching out of the sea and attacking us. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. When I printed this, it like printed weird.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It like cut off the first five words of every line. That's
it
really,
does.
Really
oh, gosh.
Convenient.
It's kind
gonna
of annoying.
We're going to have to ad-lib what
so,
we think these
so
are.
So I have it on my phone and my printing because my printing has highlights.
Right.
So.
Well, this is going to be fun. So we'll just fill this in ad-lib style. So give me a verb.
she means then, bad lib, but that's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. All right. One of the most notorious atheists. Had a come to Jesus moment.
The notorious.
This
What's his name? Richard Dawkins.
RDG.
Right.
Yeah, this is about Richard Dawkins. He's the author of a book called The God Delusion.
So I'm going to ask a question real quick because C.S. Lewis, once upon a time, was a pretty notorious atheist and he had a come to Jesus moment and became like a very faithful and devout Christian.
Oh, this is different.
Very different.
That's not what happened to this guy?
Quite different, yeah.
Okay. Let's buckle up, listeners.
Richard Dawkins has figured out at long last a way to undermine the Christian religion he loathes, and unlike his previous efforts, this one could actually work.
Okay.
Okay, so let me ask you right now. Are you familiar with Richard Dawkins.
I know that he is an atheist.
Yep.
Oh, quite familiar.
Quite familiar, yeah.
What do you know about him?
Earlier you were like, who is that? What do you mean quite familiar?
No, I said, what's his name? I was trying to think Notorious B.I.G. and I was trying to make that joke work.
That's who you're trying to think.
That was what I was trying to think, yeah. Yes. So I had, as a like teenager, had some friends that were reading Richard Dawkins stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And then everybody knows at this point, I went to a Southern Baptist school.
Yeah, but we love to bring it up anyway.
Yes. And there was this whole like series they did in chapel about Richard Dawkins and refuting Richard Dawkins and blah, 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 blah. So I watched a good bit of his stuff and developed my own opinion on Richard Dawkins in particular, which is different than my opinion on atheism.
Okay. What's your opinion on Richard Dawkins?
He's just a jerk is what he is.
He is a jerk. That
is he's just a jerk, but to me, he's very different from like atheism, right?
You can be an atheist and not be a jerk.
Right. And I know and love many atheists, and Richard Dawkins, I'm sorry, y'all, but he's probably the worst of what you've got.
Yeah. Just like there are Christians who I would say are the worst of what we got.
Yeah. John, please, yeah.
Not putting our best foot forward. Company excluded, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And you too, listener, you're included in that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not?
No, on the other side, there are podcast hosts of this podcast that are maybe not the best of what we've got, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Hey, one of us has got to be not the best, all right?
That's, well, that's, yes. Yeah.
One of you is not the best.
One of you.
All right. Richard Dawkins, author of The God Delusion.
Okay.
You know, I think the new atheist movement, mm-hmm. 15 or 20 years ago-ish, you know, golden age of their kind of...
Sure.
They're debating, they're doing some stuff.
Yeah.
He identifies him as one of the four horsemen of the, which is Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett, but I don't know any of those names.
Yeah. Invoking the four horsemen may be unnecessarily apocalyptic, but okay, I get it.
You also
can't
come up with your own terminology.
Well, the four horsemen's a creative reference, right? I mean,
it is, but
just said, oh, they're the four lion riders, you'd be like, what the heck's a lion rider?
Well, he doesn't call them that. They call themselves that, I think, is the point that the four atheists guys call themselves the four horsemen of atheism.
So they're like claiming this Christian image.
He will highlight this kind of new atheism spearheaded by these four men wasn't just like atheism of the past. Like they were not, their arguments were nothing new.
No.
But what was kind of new was this, like what Richard Moore will call an aren't we naughty counterculturalism, where they're just like not just ridiculing televangelists or abusive priests, or, you know, a Christianity that we all kind of think is weird and bad,
right?
But also like Mother Teresa, she's a fraud.
They went after Mother Teresa,
you know, like, or like even like, you know, the culturally what we. Even I'm a cultural, you know, Christian who lives in culture, not a cultural Christian, but I'm a Christian in our culture. What we might say is a good part of a religious institution. They're also like, they're all idiots. They're all stupid.
Yeah.
Terrible. Look at those morons.
Yeah. Right.
And so it was really like not just an atheism, like we don't believe in God. It's like not only do we not believe in God, the people who do believe in God are a bunch of dummies.
Right. Yeah. Just a superiority complex.
Yes. All right. But now.
Sorry, he got picked last for kickball.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the Christians.
Right,
he wasn't like, such a nerd.
Yeah.
Dawkins emerges again, this time in a viral video arguing for Christianity.
What?
How the turntables have...
Kind of.
Oh. So he did not come to Jesus.
Yes. So Richard Dawkins is an Englishman who lives in London.
Well, problem number one.
Wow.
Add London to the list.
On blast. We're coming for heavy hitting podcast.
All of Western Europe. Yeah.
He knows plumbing church attendance and church identification in his country. And says that on one level, he's glad to see it.
Me too.
Yet on the other hand, he's slightly horrified to see the promotion of Ramadan in the UK.
Okay.
After all.
So we went from atheism to racism.
Yes.
All right. That's fun. That's
a little
fun
bit of an
twist.
Unexpected pivot, I think.
Yeah. Like,
maybe some, you know, xenophobia, you know.
Right.
Maybe.
Which is so interesting.
Not
to me.
Just racism. Yeah. Like that's a little
too
simple.
All right. Yeah.
Like to me, like atheism, kind of the natural, not progression, but something that seems to go naturally with atheism to me is like humanism. And this is just like a sharp pivot away from that for old notorious RDG.
Yeah. After all, he's a Christian in a Christian country.
Yep.
But he's not a Christian.
This is what he says.
An atheist in a Christian country.
Wait a minute.
But he's a cultural Christian, not a believer. That's what he wants to clarify.
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins is a cultural Christian, not a believer. He loves the hymns, the Christmas carols, the cathedrals, everything about Christianity except Christ. And he says, in his video, I like to live in a culturally Christian country, although I don't believe a single word of the Christian faith.
Okay, that's fine. The thing is about...
But it's not fine. Well, right,
the thing about Christianity that I feel like most people say that they like is, in fact, Jesus. They're like, well, I don't get the rest of the faith, but Jesus was a pretty solid dude with a solid message, right? And
yeah.
He likes everything but Jesus. I'm confused.
Yeah, I cultural Christianity in England does have a different feel than in the United States because... England has a state church, right? Yeah. So, like, there's a different understanding of what the church means for the entire country than in, like, the United States, where we claim to have freedom of religion, right? Mm-hmm. So, not that church attendance is, like, mandated by England anymore, but there's definitely still an understanding of, like, hey, the king now is the head of the church, right?
Right.
And, you know, the coronation happens in a church. And so, like, there are these cultural touch points that even if you are not a believing Christian, you have probably encountered these in ways that in the United States you probably wouldn't have, right? So I can understand a cultural context of, like, I like all these things about Christmas in particular. That's kind of what he's, right? I like these things about Christmas because there probably are a lot more cultural places where they sang hymns or sang Christmas carols and things like that in a way that in the United States, if you're not in a church, you're probably not doing those things. Mm-hmm. It is weird that, like, the one thing that makes Christianity Christian is what he doesn't like about Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to like the hymns and stuff, that's fine. But the central point is that those hymns only matter because Jesus is who Jesus says he is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like Silent Night because it's, you know, objectively a beautiful piece of music. I like it because it reminds me of who Christ is and what Christ does for me and for the world. Right.
He has come out in the past. Doesn't like the bells from the mosques. Doesn't like the...
Oh. What about the bells from the churches?
No, he specifically is like, no, I hate Islam.
Yeah, he's very anti-Islam in England.
Okay,
so I mean, this is a Christianity. Yeah, for him, his cultural Christianity definitely has got some racism and xenophobia.
Yeah,
I think this kind of idea of, like, we're all Christian. I want to be in a Christian nation without a Christ.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of what ultimately. Russell Moore is going to kind of get into this atheism, the new atheism.
Okay.
That he thinks that the overt attack from Richard Dawkins in the past was not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I don't mind being called a dummy.
Yes.
I got over it.
He acknowledges certain parts of the Western world have continued to secularize, but of all the reasons for a lack of faith, that's probably not one of them.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that the God delusion really moved the needle.
Okay.
That much. I don't think they're the atheists in America are more likely the nuns in America, not the N-U-N, but the N-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Yes. Those nuns, they are not reading the God delusion and coming to the conclusion that Christianity is a bunch of, is not real. They're coming to the conclusion of, I'm not sure Christianity is relevant in my life.
Sure.
Right.
And I don't want to be associated with the polis and partisics attached to it.
Sure.
I don't think the God delusion is doing much. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And so he's saying, like, this attacking Christianity directly rarely works in really stifling it out in nations and in culture, but co-opting it often does work in kind of diluting it and making it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we think about this co-opted Christianity, this cultural, I'm not a Christian, but I'm a cultural Christian. I like the things of Christianity without the Christ.
I can see kind of two sides to this, because I participated in a college ministry when I was in seminary. And so this was a campus ministry at the Ohio State University, and they had atheists who attended their worship services and their Bible studies on a weekly basis who said, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus, but appreciated the community that was provided in that space.
Yeah.
And through that, right, heard the stories and heard the conversations that everybody else was having about faith and about the Bible and about Jesus and all that. So, yeah, I understand from that sense, like, okay, I would rather have an atheist say, I like the community of Christianity than not, because over time they're going to continue to hear those stories, and who knows what God is going to be able to do as they hear those stories. I do think it is something for Christians to be aware of, that people are coming in and claiming this identity and not actually sharing your beliefs. I think that's something worthy of our attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about our panic, but our attention.
Yeah. I think in some ways that that's just honesty, right? To say like, hey, like I would identify as atheist, but like I really appreciate some aspect of that. I'm going to show up in good faith and, you know, participate and be in community with you. That's great. That's honesty. And that should be able to flow both ways. And I say, well, you know, I identify as Christian and I want to be in community with you. Awesome. But if it's like, well, I identify as atheist, but I'm not going to be honest about that. And I'm going to take a few things from Christianity.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then kind of like twist that. That's like, that's a problem, I think.
Mr. Moore will say, the urge to make religion the way to prove one's cultural identity against outsiders will always find an eager audience.
Yeah.
And those who worship their flesh, defined in terms of race, religion, class, political identity, whatever, having a mascot that they call God is always going to be useful. And they might even call that mascot Jesus. You know, like that's the reality. Like, I think that this might be kind of what it is. So the New York Times wrote an article earlier in the year in January, basically kind of diving into kind of the new evangelicals.
Okay.
And they were kind of looking at this, you know, we all have heard the stat of like 80% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump in the 2016 election.
Right.
And it didn't really dip much or it did not change in 2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's dive into this. What happened?
Okay.
And they kind of found like his biggest, for Donald Trump, his biggest support group is evangelicals who don't go to church. Like that's the evangelicals who are most committed. That so like they don't actually go to a Christian community, but they are connected to the word evangelical.
Yeah.
And maybe even they're connected to it because of their politics first. And I would even say almost probably.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you know, like that their politics are leading their connection to that word evangelical. Because they're like they don't go to church.
Yeah.
They might have church backgrounds or they went to church at one point in time, but now they rarely or never go to church.
Yeah.
See, to me that is the epitome of a cultural Christian, which is why it's so interesting that Richard Dawkins is so eager to identify himself as one.
Well, it's in England, right? Like it's a little different.
It is.
Right?
But it...
Yeah, but I mean they have I think what they're going to see around the world, and not just in Christianity, but I think multiple, you know, strong, you know, the idea of the proverbial political strongman is going to come along and co-opt the religion of the people and say, I'm actually this.
Mm-hmm.
Vote for me to get your religious wants and needs accomplished in this world.
Yeah.
And as that happens, it will poison your religious wants and needs, like because like that's just never going to work. Like that's not, you know, in America, around the world, it's just not just that kind of, that's the God is my mascot, not actually God.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and I think you're placing a living God with a delusional God. That's the new atheist. This new atheism is that we can talk about God, we can attach him to our culture, we can put him in our politics, but we don't actually, it's just, you know, a mascot. Kind of like the Israelites built a golden calf to lead them, and even though they built it with their own hands, they're like, this is our new God. It's like, that's what we're all doing. We're building our own God right in front of us as we kind of engage, you know, in this kind of politics in America.
Sure.
Or for Richard Dawkins in England. Yeah. And for him, the God is a God of hymns, Christmas, carols, kind of this like cutesy Christianity, you know, but not actually Christ-centered or not actually built on loving your neighbor and loving God. All right, so what do we do with this?
We kick Richard Dawkins to the curb and say never again.
Does anybody know if Richard Dawkins is married? It sounds like there's no way, right?
Like he seems you know,
quite single, like that might be offensive.
Seems like angry,
hard to live with him.
Yeah.
None of those edges have been like smoothed out.
Yeah. So what do we do with this? I mean, I think for us as Christians, right, it's always valuable for us to hear how other people are thinking about and talking about our faith.
Yeah.
And if they see a foothold to say I'm going to claim this cultural Christianity without loving Jesus and a way for that to be acceptable, then maybe that's more about us than it is about them, right? Like maybe there's something within our own self culture as Christians that says, I see all these other Christians who aren't like actually following this guy Jesus, but they claim Christianity. Why can't I do that too, right? And maybe that says more about us. And so there's probably an opportunity for some self-reflection here, to think about the ways in which we are perhaps claiming to follow Jesus without actually taking Jesus' words seriously.
Yeah. Also, maybe an opportunity for reflection on xenophobia. Like
that seems reasonable.
Right. Like it's so surprising to me that this is the way that Richard Dawkins went, but maybe it shouldn't be.
Yeah. And like being a Christian should not mean that I have to want a Christian nation that kicks out all the Muslims and doesn't allow the bells on a mosque to ring. And like that shouldn't be inherently connected to Christianity.
Right. So here's the thing is I think that the sort of politics being, you know, proverbially in bed with religion never works. And we're really quick to point that out with things like the Arab Spring, right? Like, but it never works. Like, it doesn't work in Japan with the emperor being, you know, Shinto, Shinto, you know, God, basically. Like, it doesn't work anywhere. Why would it work for Christianity in a Christian nation?
Well, the argument is because Christianity is true. Real.
But that's the argument. It's the argument, but like, perhaps it's not the Islam that is the problem
The reality behind that argument, right, is also that Christianity has done this and it has not
worked. And it has not worked, right? Yeah.
Like,
it never works.
We had a Holy Roman Emperor.
Right.
And it did not work. Right. And, you know, we have had kings who were Christian and had Christian nations. And still, there are state religions, right?
Right.
Even throughout Europe, many of the state religions are still in place in Denmark and in, I think, Germany. And, you know, where even pastors are, like, actually paid by the state because you're executing this work that the state does. It does not work in those places either. That's the better answer to that question.
Right.
Yeah, I think this is interesting, you know, because I think we can kind of see for Richard Dawkins, he sees like a rise of Muslim immigrants into England as an affront to the Christianese that he doesn't even like.
Yeah.
You know, like, but he prefers it.
Yeah.
Because it's what he's comfortable with, right? Like, he's comfortable with that. You know, and, you know, this similarness of, like, here in America, we kind of see the rise of, like, immigration from our southern border as, like, the threat to kind of our Christianese.
Yeah.
And even though most of the immigrants from the southern border are Christian.
Right.
Like, it's just this, like, alarming or shocking thing of, like, they're actually kind of maybe closer religiously to kind of the evangelicals or the Christians that are most against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of closer, you know, than they're not coming up with a new religion. It's always closer and closer ideals. But I think we're just definitely seeing that. Russell Moore is going to say the problem with Dawkins' cultural Christianity then is not that he says it out loud, is that many people hold the same view and won't say it yet. That they like a Christian-ish nation. Christianity is not about national anthems or village chapels and candlelight carol sings, and it's certainly not about using the levers of culture or the state to coerce people to pretend that they are Christian when they are not. And I think this is kind of this is the bigger threat. I would much rather, you know, if in 10 years' time, you know, we got a chance to fast forward, what would I want? I would much rather have Christianity in America to continue on the decline but be like real for the people that are Christian than to have kind of the same level of where we're at right now, where we're just pandered to by politicians and we are more than willing to throw faith beyond kind of political or cultural causes without thinking of how do we love Jesus or what does Jesus actually mean here. I would much rather just like, let's just get smaller and just get rid of that. That would be preferable. And I think that would be better for the church as a whole. And so I think the fact that there are not only secular people who are kind of like Mr. Richard Dawkins, I think there are Christians who are like Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
Who are like, I like Christianity without the Jesus. You know, I like going to church.
Yeah.
I like hearing, you know, a message that is
makes me feel good.
Makes me feel good, or shames the people I don't like in this world.
Which makes me feel good.
Makes them look bad.
Yep.
And then I like my politicians telling me that they're Christian, regardless of evidence.
Yeah.
And I can say, yeah, look at this. I'm one of those evangelicals who never or who are an evangelical who never goes to church, but still identifies with strongly with that word.
Yeah. You know, what I think you threw out that's really valuable, Patrick, is that Richard Dawkins wants this particular version of Christianese because it's what makes him comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the through line that we're seeing here, right? That if you are pursuing a Christianity that makes you comfortable, you're probably not pursuing Jesus. Because Jesus, throughout his life, was not interested in making people comfortable, right? You know, he offered comfort, but the goal was not comfortable. The goal was, how am I inviting you into this new life, which is almost always more complicated and more challenging because it is in conflict with what the world presents, right? Christianity should, at its roots, be uncomfortable because it is in conflict with the world around it. Mm-hmm. And it is only when we experience the fullness of God's reign in, you know, the resurrection or whatever new world God creates in that time, right? It is only then that we experience in its fullness and are actually able to live into it. And so until that happens, Christianity should inherently make you uncomfortable. Yeah. And if you're in pursuit of comfort, Christianity is going to leave you disappointed. Or it's going to end up looking like this.
Sure.
And you're going to have a mascot as opposed to a faith.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, he kind of say, you know, the best way to take down a cross is to replace it with a culture, a crown, a cathedral, or a Christmas tree.
Ooh.
And maybe we
do like a Christmas tree.
Maybe we could even add in America or a flag. Like, that might be the best way to take down the cross is to replace it with one of those things.
Our flag is cooler than England's flag. That's fine.
Yeah. I like, you know, the American flag or the Texas flag.
I meant the American flag.
The Christian flag.
Definitely not talking about the Christian flag. Yeah.
Did you have to say the Christian flag pledge growing up in your?
Yeah. So in a, I went
to a Christian flag pledge.
Oh yeah.
I briefly went to Awana's at a Baptist church when I was a kid, and I do not remember it, but I remember that being a thing.
Yeah, I just had the Christian flag pledge.
Do you remember it?
It's like I pledge allegiance to the cross, you know. I don't really remember it.
Nailed it.
It's I went to private elementary school.
Sure,
this was a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I did say the pledge. We had an American flag and a Christian flag hanging in our classroom, and we said a pledge to both.
Yeah, it is wacky enough to me that in Texas you say a pledge to the Texas flag. Like, that's already weird to me. The notion.
I don't remember
like,
ever doing that.
They do it every week or every day, I think, in Sophia's school.
I don't think they do it to the Texas flag in my daughter's school.
We didn't do that.
It is still weird to me that we pledge allegiance to the American flag. Like, what? What exactly are we doing? I don't know. Yeah. Like, it seems a little odd, but
I think it's weird too. I think if we did not do it, and then like we heard that like North Korea do it,
we'd be
like, what a bunch of
right.
That's cultish behavior,
right? Like, exactly.
That's crazy town.
Yeah.
Like,
we would not necessarily end up like, well, that's pretty good. We should do that too.
Let's try that. That Kim Jong Un at least got some good ideas.
Interesting idea. Yeah. I've said the I've said the Pledge of Allegiance plenty of times. Well, But it's there you go. All right. Any last thoughts on the new atheism?
You know what? Whatever atheism has got, I am confident that God's church will stand. It will always look different, and so that's fine. And you can, I'm yet to meet an atheist who has a genuine way in which Christianity is going to stop being a cultural force, or even just a reality of, hey, we're following this person, Jesus. Like, God's church has got a way, and it's had a way through empire and through war, and it has had a way through all times of history for the last 2,000 years. It will have a way into the future, and the United States will fall, and England will fall, and the world will fall, and Christianity will stand. And that's not like a threat to everything. That's like just the new reality is going to be an experience in which God's church reigns. And I don't know that I even have a full picture of what that means, but I am confident that God is going to win. So
I agree. You know, I do think that this is, for me, at least historically, like a little more troublesome. I think a direct, overt attack is easier to withstand, stomach, or even like, I think even like, in some ways, proselytize in than an attack that's like, you have to be, in order to be a Christian in America, you have to be X. And I'm X, so I'm a Christian in America.
Yeah.
So like, you know, that, and then, evangelicalism in that, are you not evangelicals, but evangelism in that environment, I think, is much more difficult, because you're actually having to tear down kind of an identity, not just this is what God is doing in our world, and why Jesus matters. Yeah. So, again, I don't think this is coming from Richard Dawkins. Mm. I think this is kind of this new, almost cultural crusade that's happening, kind of under you know, shadow.
Yep.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Richard Dawkins is just one ugly face that popped up with the shadow. And
I don't know if he's ugly.
I don't actually know. Maybe. He's just mean.
I was more thinking metaphorical ugliness, not necessarily a literal.
I could not pick him out of a lineup. I have no idea what he looks like.
We could drag his appearance real quick if we want to.
If you put him up on a wall, I have no idea what he looks like. But if you put him up on a wall with like other people, like, that's the one.
That's the angry guy.
That's the one. All right. Well,
I'm going to Google him while you do our show.
Okay. Yeah. So with that, if you enjoyed this episode, give us an email. You can send an email to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com and let us know how you think the new atheism is going to try to take down Christianity from the inside. It was like that show, The Inside Job or Inside Man. There was a movie. Anyway, it was a what's it called? When like you, a bank robbery. It was a movie about a bank robbery.
A heist
movie. That's it. Anyway, if you liked it, beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can find all our episodes at Beyond Sunday Podcast. Yeah, see, I totally would have nailed that. If that was the picture that was presented to me, I would have like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
No,
that's Dawkins.
Xenophobe.
Looks, you know, well, look, you put him up with the old guys.
With a bow tie. All right. He
is that more or less atheist to have a bow tie?
Hard to say. Hard to say. Yeah. All right. I've done my thing. Patrick, what do you got for us?
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.